Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each one of these young boys and girls and for the part they've taken in our service today. We ask that you will bless them and bless their families. And Father, we just thank you that people were so generous with their offering, and we ask that it might be used according to your will to help with their education and their learning of you. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Here's some little pictures. Which one of those pictures do you like best? The raccoon? The butterfly? Okay. How about you? Everybody likes something different, don't they? When we're making a decision on this, what are we doing? Are we kind of making a judgment? Yeah. Are we supposed to judge people? Do you know what the Bible says about that? Let's take a look here. I think in James 4, verse 12, it says, "There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor?" Who is that talking about? Who is able to save and destroy? Yes. That's right. Only God. And he tells us that he doesn't want us to judge other people. And we have a story today that kind of goes along with that. Matter of fact, I'll set the stage a little bit. It took place in the time about time that George and Alice and Howard and I were growing up, sort of during the Second World War time. We were just little then, maybe even littler than some of you. And things were tough. Back in those days, you couldn't even use all the sugar you wanted because it was rationed. And other things were rationed because there was a war going on. So a lot of people, when they got a hole in their shoe, do you know what they had to do? They had to cut out a piece of cardboard and put in their shoes to keep the water out because they couldn't afford new shoes. And this is a story about that time. It's really kind of a Christmas story, but I think it's worthwhile hearing. Christmas is coming, and we were all excited. We talked about what we expected to find under our trees, and we brought our nickels and dimes in for the shoe fund. Now, they had a shoe fund back then because there were so many kids that needed shoes. The shoe fund was set up for poor kids who couldn't afford to buy shoes, and we were all encouraged to donate to it. I even saw Paul Klein drop a penny in one day. Just one penny. Paul usually kept to himself. He was a loner and nobody bothered him, not even Mrs. Plank, the teacher. His clothes were tattered and patched, and we knew he wore cardboard inside his shoes. And rumor had it that his family couldn't even afford soap. Because more often than not, he came to school with a dirty neck. So they didn't have soap to wash with. Now, Mrs. Plank was getting us ready for the annual Christmas program, and she asked John Stark, the smartest and the handsomest boy in the class, to sing the solo of "O Holy Night." We practiced that carol every day, just like you kids did for your Christmas program. And during rehearsals, Paul, the poor little boy, sat in the back row staring up at the ceiling and drumming his desktop with his grimy little fingers, keeping time with the music. No one paid much attention to him. We figured he wasn't interested and wouldn't even come to the program. On the day of the Christmas program, John, the one who was going to sing the solo, didn't show up for school. Oh, no. His little sister brought in a note from his mother saying he was sick and had a bad cold. We were all disappointed because Mrs. Plank had said if there were no soloist, we couldn't sing the song because we didn't do it that well. Oh. There was a lot of commotion in the class that day. We practiced so hard, and we were anxious to sing for our parents that evening. I just don't think it'll be nearly as nice to sing it without a solo or without our soloist, Mrs. Plank said from the front of the room. We'll have to sing something we all know really well, like Jingle Bells. Oh, no, said the kids. The class all groaned in unison. Mrs. Plank tapped her pencil on the desk like she always did when she wanted silence. The room grew quiet. I'm just as disappointed as you are, she said. But sometimes these things happen and we just have to go on. Unexpectedly, a clear golden voice traveled from the back of the classroom. Together, as though rehearsed, our heads all turned to face the sound. Paul was standing, his eyes closed, as he sang with a voice more soulfully beautiful than anyone else in the sixth grade, even better than our soloist. Why, Paul, where did you learn to sing like that? Mrs. Plank said. Oh, we sing all the time at home, he said, looking timidly at the floor. Right then and there, Mrs. Plank told everyone he would be the soloist that night. We practiced the carol over and over, and every time I heard his voice, my throat tightened. It was so beautiful. At recess, several girls gathered to talk about Paul's appearance. Because remember, how did Paul look? Holy shoes, tattered clothes, dirty neck. Kind of scruffy, didn't he? He sings so pretty, maybe no one will notice how he looks, I said, not really believing it myself. Well, the other girls looked at me in a way that told me they didn't believe it either. Well, that night, Paul arrived in new clothes, and his hair was combed neatly, and his face and neck were shining clean. The entire back row was filled with his family. When he sang a solo, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. Even Mrs. Plank, standing in front of the school directing, had tears streaming down her cheeks. Later, we girls talked about how clean and nice Paul looked for the program. We all knew that he got the new shoes, but we were polite enough not to talk about it. From then on, we all looked at Paul differently, and he looked at himself differently. He became more a part of the class and less of a loner. And we learned that just because someone doesn't have a lot of money doesn't mean that they don't have a big heart or a golden voice. Now, what can we learn from that story? What do you think, Jacob? Can somebody help him out? Could it be that we shouldn't judge people by their outward appearances? He had talents that no one in that class even knew about, didn't he? And when he was encouraged, he thought more of himself also. So we have to be really careful when we look at other people, not to judge them by the way they appear, because that doesn't tell us what's going on in their heart, does it? No. So before we go back to our seats, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear loving Lord, we just thank you that we can come and hear these stories. Help them apply to us in our lives. Help us not to look at others as tall or skinny or fat or short or homely or beautiful, but all as your loving children. Give us minds and hearts to be open to your leading, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Go back to your seats.